Why don't we just pause and have a word of prayer? And I realize that whenever we're talking on a spiritual subject, we can intellectually get it in our minds, but unless the Spirit of God really speaks to our lives where we live, it really doesn't register. And I see that in my own life, that, life is a continual training program. And seeing the value and so forth of my own priorities, and I have to keep working on those and asking God to help me to see the priority of my walk with God and my family and not be consumed with my work or what I think is important. And so I'd like to speak to those kind of issues this morning as we talk about quiet time. But let's just have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to direct the time. Father, you said that one of the very large ministries of your Holy Spirit was to guide us into all truth. And we realize, Lord, that life out there is not the most conducive thing for us when we think in terms of our own walk with you. And there's so many demands on us, and unless we really have the right priorities, then one of the first things that goes, I find in my own life too, is just that really vital seeking you. And so we pray that you would help us this morning to see from your word the vital importance of our own walk with you, and that we might be able to apply the scriptures wherever they need to be applied, and that you would take your Holy Spirit. And we trust that we're open, that we have open hearts and teachable spirits, that your Spirit is able to speak where the need is throughout this week as well as this morning. And so we just look to you for this time, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. And I really do mean that it is a privilege to be here. I know a number of you have been to, 45 different conferences and so forth here at Glen Eyrie, and some of you, perhaps this is the first time, and I don't want to steal all the thunder from the tour this afternoon, but I personally count it a great privilege to be here. I had the privilege of being here as a trainee with the Navigators back in 61 through 63. And God really did some great things in my life during that time. And as I think about this place, why do we have it? And this is a little introduction here. But why do we have this place? Well, I feel like it's a result of a man who was willing to believe God for us, as we're sitting here, a man who came here, Dawson Trotman, in spite of a lot of obstacles, and perhaps some of you were involved in those hectic days back in 1953 in getting Glen Eyrie and raising $100,000 in 6 weeks, which was totally impossible when the Navigators were running on a budget about $20,000 in debt at the time. But if you go up to Doss's grave up there, you'll find a rock, and he had scratched on there 1 Chronicles 29. And if you look at the passage, the sort of essence of the passage, Lord, you own everything. Everything is yours. But what kind of a people are we to be able to have such rich blessings from yourself? And so he claimed that for Glen Eyrie and believed God for it. And one of the functions that he wanted to see Glen Eyrie used at is a conferences like this where people could be stimulated in their walk with God and helped in the basics of the Christian life, and to be spurred on to see the value of giving your life totally to God and seeing God use your life in the life of other people. And of course, that's what discipleship is all about. And of course, one of the other functions of Glen Eyrie is the year-round training program that we have here for training people in character and godliness. And so we're functioning on two of those objectives that Doss saw for this place, as well as our administrative headquarters and all that's involved in that, which you maybe will take a tour over there. And that building is really a blessing from God too. Sometimes I think, people think, boy, these Navigators, they're really a rich outfit. But I think God is rich and gives us a lot of things on a shoestring. And I've traveled around the world on a shoestring that God gave, and that's really kind of fun to do that. And really a lot of what we have over in that administrative services over there was donated or given, or businesses wanted to do something for the navigators and gave us furniture and all that kind of thing. And so that's kind of where we're living, on the edge of grace. And that's true of our lives. Well, let me introduce the subject of quiet time. Really, quiet time is sort of a little coinage word that's really part of a whole life, isn't it? Really, we're talking about the devotional life, and that's a 24-hour deal, isn't it? It's something that we're engaged in on a day-by-day basis, hour-by-hour basis in our walk and fellowship with God, and that's, if you wanted to say that's the devotional life, is just trying to figure out how we can be sensitive to the Lord throughout the day, and to be praying about things that are going on, and to be sensitive to the Word of God that's in our hearts, and living in obedience to God. That's really part of the devotional life. And quiet time, as it were, is one little section that we cut out of that 24-hour period, just to spend a little special time with God, to say, Lord, I really want to have you speak to my life. And as I think about just maybe a verse that really has meant a lot to me and motivates me in my own quiet time, is found in Acts 24. And I'd like to just share with you a few thoughts from that, sort of by way of introduction. Acts 24. Excuse me, Acts 22:14. Acts 24 has a good verse in verse 16, to have a conscience void of offense towards God and man, but that's not the one I was thinking of. But Acts 22:14. Now what are we really trying to accomplish in quiet time? And I would say that it has to do with a lot of thoughts out of this verse. A lot of times I have a privilege of dealing with people and they're trying to figure out God's will. And many times they're trying to find God's will in a little capsule, trying to rush into God and say, now God, what do you want me to do in the future? And they think that maybe God's will is sort of secretive, that somehow God just sort of delights in withholding his will just to keep us on the fighting edge or something like that. And so we're in the dark half the time about the Christian life. And I think the thing that really motivates me with regard to quiet time and knowing God's will is that God makes a very flat statement right here. He says, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Now that's a whole message in itself, isn't it? But the God of our fathers has chosen you for a few things. And one of them is that you would know his will. God doesn't want to keep that in the dark. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, knowing what's on his heart, knowing what he wants us to do, and making it very clear to us. And I feel like that's really one of the, for me, one of the objectives of quiet time, is to really get to know God and to know what's on his heart and to see things from his point of view. To see the world from his point of view, or see whatever from the scripture. The God of our fathers has chosen you that you would know his will, point one, that you would see the righteous one, point two. And I think that's what he's trying to say is that I would really like to have you get to know the person of Jesus Christ. Not only know what he wants you to do, but to get to know the person of Jesus Christ, to know him intimately. And how do we know when we know him intimately? Is to hear his words and to listen to the voice of his mouth. And when we go before God in the scripture and having our quiet time, what we're trying to do is get before God and say, now, Lord, you made me, you know where I'm going, you know what my needs are, you know what you want to communicate to me, and what I really want is the very things that's on your heart. I want to know what you want me to do. I want to do what you want me to do, and I really want to get to know you as a person and to let you speak to my life and to let you share yourself with me and me with you. And that's really what quiet time is about, it seems to me. That's a really terrific verse just to think about, that God chose you to do that, to know His will, to see Jesus Christ, to hear His words, and to have that sense, hey, we're communicating together, to hear the voice of His mouth. And I'd say maybe that's this practical thing, to see a lot of answered prayer, to see God speak to your life through the Holy Spirit, to take that word and apply it to where it's needful. Well, that comes into a whole point of John 4:23, and some of you have memorized that. Remember, Jesus is at the well, and He's talking with a woman at the well, and she is saying, well, you know, some say that you ought to be worshiping over in this mountain over here, and what do you think? Well, He says, the hour has come, and now is, that the Father seeks such to worship Him. And that God is in a process of trying to get our attention so that we can learn how to worship Him and to grow in Him and to become the kind of men and women that God really wants us to be. And really that's where we are, is that God has created us that we might worship Him and bring honor and glory to Him. And that, to me, I mean, you can say, well, that's kind of one-sided, but that, to me, is one of the most exciting things when to think about it, that God really wants me to be able to fellowship with Him. And every one of us are in the same individual boat. And God's capacity to be able to do that, that He deals with us as individuals and wants us to have fellowship with Him, is just, if you think about it, is mind-blowing. That God would want to do that and want to reveal Himself to us. And He just makes the statement, I want to do that. The Father is actually out seeking each individual so that we might be able to worship Him and to enjoy the presence of God. And I think, of course, in Isaiah 6, Uzziah was just sort of getting a little glimpse of that when he was in the temple, wasn't it? And he saw the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah 6, 1 and through the passage. And when he saw the Lord, he just fell on his knees and he says, oh, you know, I'm a sinful man. I dwell among sinful people. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And that's sort of that area of our lives. If we come to quiet time, the idea of having a special time alone with God, if we come with that sort of attitude, then God will meet us there and reveal Himself to us. So, I need fellowship. I need fellowship with my wife. I need fellowship with other people. And I most certainly need fellowship with God. And that's where I'm coming from when we think in terms of our relationship to God. So that's maybe part of the why do we have quiet time. And maybe the attitude of quiet time could be characterized perhaps by Psalm 5:3, where he says, my voice thou shalt hear in the morning. And another passage along that line is that my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is that there's an attitude that, Lord, I just really want to seek you and find out what you have on your heart for me. Well, how do we go about having a quiet time? I think it's an act of the will. I think it's a decision that we make. I think it's something that goes on in our heart and saying, Lord, I need this bad enough to do something about it. And I know we have the little booklet, 7 Minutes with God, and perhaps some of you have seen that, and if you haven't, it's just a little simple outline of what you could do in 7 minutes with God. And Bob Foster came up with that idea in working with businessmen, because businessmen, and I consider myself sort of business inclined, I'm always sort of wheeling and dealing on something, but businessmen have the feeling, and I'm working with one of the businessmen in town, that really I don't have time to do this. Boy, I just, you know, I'm so important, and the job is so great on me, and it's really hard to make a million these days, and you just don't understand my situation, and I have to go to, you know, work early in the morning, and I, you know, I have to make some sales at night, and it's just really kind of a tough ball game. You don't really understand what's going on out there. Well, I think I do, and maybe it has to do more with pride of trying to maybe, you know, make a name for ourselves, or trying to do the impossible, run 2 or 3 lives at the same time. And I find that the Lord has had to rebuke me a few times like that. I enjoy life, so I try to live about 2 or 3 lives at the same time. It doesn't quite work. But really, the whole idea that Bob came up with, well, do you suppose that out of your busy day that you could carve out 7 minutes to spend time with God? Well, you know, that's sort of intimidating to our thinking, and say, well, I suppose, you know, if you put it that way, maybe I could carve out about 7 minutes to get alone with God. I mean, he's given me 24 hours, 168 hours a week. I suppose I can carve out, you know, whatever that figures out to be, 49 minutes a week. I think I could do that. But the whole point is that there has to be somewhere along the line in our life that we're going to put that as a priority and say, I'm going to do it. There has to be something that I say, yeah, an act of the will. I'm going to set the time aside to spend time with God. So God wants it, and we have to come to see that, yeah, I want it too. Now, what will this do for us? What will quiet time do for us? In John 15:3, there's a passage that Jesus says, "Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you." And in thinking about that particular passage, I think it gives a kernel of truth that's very essential to our lives to realize the importance of the Word of God for us. That I may not know how it's working, but it does work. There's something that's trying to think of the word. It's like this morning for breakfast, we ate a lot of food, and we don't go through all the, you know, thinking on all the chemical changes that take place so that we're nourished, so that we're able to carry on for the day. We don't think that way. We just know that if we don't eat breakfast or don't eat lunch and don't eat supper, by the end of the day, we just don't have it. And if we keep going for a while, we really don't have it. And we just are total apathy. We just don't know which end is up. It's like people in the Sudan or so forth that are starving. They don't know they're starving. They don't even feel hunger pains anymore. It's just sort of, you know, they just don't know. And I see that the Word of God is sort of the same way, that God says, listen, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, in 1 Peter 2:1 and 2, that there's something that's very essential for our lives in getting into the Word of God. I don't know how it works necessarily, but I know when I get into the Word of God and I begin to read it, God begins to satisfy the needs of my life and give me direction and to nourish me spiritually. And somewhere along the line, I need to come to the place that I see that the Word of God is not an option for my life. It's not something that I take or leave or dust off every once in a while and try to you know, fit it into my life in a cram course when I'm really in need. But that somewhere along the line, I have to come to the place, like Jesus said, now you're clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you. The disciples couldn't quite figure that one out. But what Jesus was saying, the words that I'm speaking to you, there's a cleansing process going on, and your minds are being changed, and your hearts are being changed, and that I'm nourishing you. You may not understand it fully, but the facts are you need it. And the verse that really challenges me in this whole idea is... Let me just think here a second. Deuteronomy 32:47. Get the right passage there? Okay, good. To establish the importance of the Word of God in our life is going to take some decisions, and that I really need it for my life. And Moses, in this chapter, is standing before the people, and he said he spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the ears of the people. And when Moses, verse 45, 32:45, when Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Now I want you to take to heart all the words which I solemnly declare to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law." Well, that's the whole thing of child raising, isn't it? And then he says another little sentence on there. "These are not just idle words for you. They are your life." And maybe I'm coming back to my first point again, that somewhere along the line, you know, you and I need to make some basic decisions with God, that this time alone with Him and alone with His Word is not an option. They're not just idle words from some preacher trying to get a little message across because the navigators believe in quiet time, but there's something that's so basic, so vital to our lives, that unless you and I are consistently in the Word of God before God and asking Him for directions, you and I will not be able to live the Christian life. It's just that simple. And we can rationalize it away with all sorts of things, that the life is busy and everything else, but the facts are, unless we make some decisions with regard to what we're going to do, we won't do it. And we won't live a vital Christian life. And we won't have that sensitivity to the Lord that we really desire, and we won't be able to do what He really wants us to do, or be what He wants us to be. So it's not just idle words, it's your very life. It's your lifeblood. It's not just some words that Peter is trying to get across to some new Christians saying, you know, it's the sincere desire of the milk of the Word, but he says, in a continuation of life, you never outgrow your need for milk. There's always a need for you to be able to spend that vital time with God. So it is a time of drawing source, our strength for the day, to getting God's perspective on the day. And it's just the very vital link to our whole life. Well, how do you go about having a quiet time? Maybe this is a whole new subject. Maybe you're here at a conference the first time. You think, now what on earth is this guy trying to talk about? This quiet time, never heard that before. And is it some sort of mystical deal that you kind of go and close the door and open up the Bible and let it radiate out to you, and somehow you come out with a glow on your face like Moses did, and you have to put a veil over it, and your wife can't live with you for the rest of the day or something like that. I don't know. But what is it? How do you go about doing it? Well, basically, very simply, quiet time is a conjecture. It's a couple of words together It's getting alone with God, finding a place where you can be alone, reading the Bible, praying over it, and asking God to help you to apply it to your life. That's really what the simple essence of it is. Well, what is essential to being able to have a successful quiet time? One is you got to get up. And I don't know if you, you know, what time you leave for work, but it seems as though that you have to go backwards. Now, okay, I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. It takes me a half an hour to drive. So that's 7:30. I got to leave the house. I've got to have breakfast, and that takes about a half an hour to have breakfast and have a little devotion with the kids. So that's 7 o'clock breakfast. It takes me 15, 20 minutes to dress in the morning if I'm really alert and can do it. So that backs me up to 6:45. And, you know, okay, how much time do I need for quiet time? How much time do I need to get alone with God? Okay, I say I want to take 15, 20 minutes or more. Then I have to back up and say, okay, let's see, that puts me about 6:15. And if I'm on schedule, if I get up 6:15 and kind of jump out of bed right when the alarm goes off, I've got a half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever I've planned to get time with God. And then the day starts and I go down and eat breakfast and kiss my wife goodbye and get in the traffic and get to work at 8 o'clock. I mean, there's some decisions in that, but there has to be some time set, and so you maybe have to go out and buy an alarm clock watch or something like that, or put it under your pillow, or, you know, like one guy made an apparatus in college that had, you know, some ropes tied to the four corners of the sheet, and when the alarm went off, the little rotor went on, and it kind of cranked it up, and, you know, pulled the sheet up, and the window flew open, and you started freezing to death, so you said, hey, this is a dumb idea, I better get up. I don't know if you have to go through all that, but somewhere along that, you just have to make a simple decision. Hey, you know, if I want to do that, I have to back up my time and say, okay, I'll get up at whatever time is necessary to get that time with God. Or if you're, you know, you say you're a night person, maybe you have to figure that out. What time do I need to go to bed so I can get up the next morning, and how much time am I going to spend at night to be able to do that? So it's just sort of figuring it out. And that's how you go about in the first step. You got to decide to get up. Okay, then you need to find somewhat of a quiet place. Not, you know, before the TV or where the traffic pattern is, where everybody crisscrosses. And I know in the service, when I accepted Christ, I don't know, I didn't know very much, but I did make a couple good decisions. And as a new Christian, I said, well, I'm going to read my Bible when I get up in the morning, and I'm going to read it before I go to bed, no exception. And you know, those 4 years that I was in the service, I really grew as a Christian, and I think as I look back, it was just one simple decision that helped me grow, because I wouldn't make any exception. And so, you know, in a barracks, sometimes I was in an open bay where you had 70 guys living, you know, where you could see everything was hanging out, you know, everybody, you know. Well, where's the only place that is quiet that no one, you know, is going to bother me early in the morning? Well, there's only one place, the bathroom. So I had to go in there and sit down and have my quiet time in the bathroom. And there were other times that I had to figure out, man, the bathroom sometimes gets busy, especially on a Friday night, you know, Saturday morning, you know, guys are having trouble with their stomachs and all those kind of things. So that's really not the place. So there is a broom closet down there that no one seems to go in early in the morning. So I sat in the broom closet to have quiet time. And when I was in college, the same thing. Where's the quiet place? Now, in my home, I have to figure out where the quiet place too is. And if it's, you know, paying any price to be able to get a little, you know, hook you, I'm speaking Dutch here, but a little corner, you know, to put your books up and have a little regular place that you know, it's, you know, 6:30, you drop into this little place where your books are, your Bible is, and you're going to have your quiet time. You've made a decision to do that. And now I know sometimes when my wife, you know, is a having the little kids, three little kids, it's still the attitude, it's decision. I need a quiet time, I need time with God, and you know, the baby wakes at 4 a.m. and you don't get any much sleep and you're kind of staggering around, and it doesn't, you know, quite work quite as neat of a package as, you know, we'll get up this time and do that. But I can remember my wife sitting there, you know, feeding the baby and having her Bible in the other hand and having her quiet time, reading the scripture. It's a decision up here, no matter when you plan to do it. Now, a housewife may, the busiest time in the morning, getting everybody going out the house with everything in their, you know, lunch boxes and notes and everything out the door. And after the door is closed, she kind of has a sigh of release. And maybe before she cleans up the kitchen, she'll sit down and try to have a few minutes of time in the Word. Or if you're like my wife, to sit when the kitchen is just in a chaos, that really doesn't, you know, challenge her too much, so she needs to clean up the kitchen before she can sit down. But whatever you do, there has to be a decision when you're going to do it. And then there's sort of an attitude that we need to have to when we come to the Lord. And I think it's characterized by Psalm 119:18, where it says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that's just an attitude. Lord, I want you to speak to me this morning. Well, how's he going to speak to you? Well, you can kind of go like this. Say, now let's see, the Bible is all inspired God's Word. And I think that, I think I'll read out of here this morning. So we kind of read a few passages and that might be appropriate. And the next morning we kind of, that's really terrific. And, you know, we jump around and we don't know where we're coming or going or what we're doing. So it is good to have a little plan on what you're going to do as far as reading. And it may be that if you're just starting out as a new Christian, you might want to take like the book of Mark, one of the Gospels like that, or Colossians, and just read. Read so many minutes or so many passages, you know, scriptures, and then stop, and then you go into the next. Now, Lord, what are you really trying to tell me here? You might get some new insights. You might get some new knowledge that you didn't really understand before. The Lord might speak to you about something in your life that you need to pay attention to. He might point out some sort of sin that you have overlooked. There might be an attitude that you don't have that he wants you to have. There may be that you were, you know, angry at the kids and kicking the dog the night before, and he wants you to go to him and apologize and make that right. But whatever it is, that you're sitting in one passage and keeping going through that, and so there's somewhat of a consistency. And if you really can't think of how to do that, maybe you can sign up for the daily walk or something like that, and there's a little passage that you can read every day, and there's a little plan for you. But most of us, if we don't have a plan, we don't do anything. And so the plan is, you know, get up in the morning, go to a place where you know you're going to go and have your quiet time, and open up your Bible to a place that you know you're going to start reading from, so you don't have to make all those decisions early in the morning, and start reading for a prescribed amount of time that you're going to spend time with God, and ask God to really reveal himself to you during that time. And sometimes you come out doing double heel clicks, and sometimes you don't. But the fact is, just like John, you know, 15:3, it's therapeutic. You don't know really what's happening, but boy, you've got some nourishment that will keep you going for the day. So, yeah, there's a few things that, you know, have good lighting or those kind of things, good ventilation, if you can have it. So those are just some areas in which we want to have time. Okay, I gave a little bit of an idea of what do you do, and maybe I can go over those again. It's an attitude, open my eyes and I may behold wondrous things out of your law. It's taking and praying over God's Word and asking him to help you to apply it to your life. James 1:21 and 22 is a very good passage on that. Maybe we can just take a look at it. It says, therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. And I think in the process of having our quiet time, we're asking God to plant the word of God in our life so that we can become the kind of person that God wants us to become. And don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And I'm sure some of you have been exposed to the Navigator hand illustration where you're hearing and reading and studying and memorizing the scripture and meditating on it. But as you look up every one of those passages, it says to hear and do, to read and do, to study and do, meditate and do, or memorize and do. The scripture always has a do on the end of what we hear and read. And it may be in an attitude, it may be, and as I mentioned, any possibility, but we want to let God have any possibility with us to let us be able to apply the scripture to our life. And so if we listen and God speaks to us and we walk away and we forget what kind of a person or what kind of things God was speaking to us about, then we're not making application. And I think one of the things that's essential in this whole process is to have a pen and a little notebook and to jot down what God is speaking to you about. Because as God speaks to you in the Word, many times as I sit there and sort of try to figure out, now what are you really trying to say, Lord, to me in this passage? And I start writing it out, it becomes clearer and clearer what He's really trying to say. And I can make application, write it down, and I have a way of checking up on myself because I wrote it down, and even though I forgot what I wrote down 2 weeks later, I can go back and look it up and say, hey, Lord, I got the message a couple weeks ago, but it's been kind of hard to apply it, so do we want to have a rerun on this one? And it seems like God, when He's trying to speak to us about something, will have a little theme going, and he kind of keeps going on the same theme until we get the message. And it seems as though that, in my own life, it seemed like some of those messages have been going on for about 10 or 15 years. And I'm just sort of getting the picture. I mean, I'm kind of slow, you know, and God just has to keep banging away at a certain few areas of my life. And as I look at what He's trying to teach me and what the Scripture is saying, sometimes no matter where I read, it says the same thing. And God has His way of doing that too. And that's really what I want God to change my life. And so you write things down and you meditate on it through the day, and maybe just taking a thought from that scripture that you read and putting it in a little sentence or a little thought that you can chew on, or memorizing that verse so that you can chew on during the day. And just then you go from your quiet time with a thought from God that's going to change your life. And I see that in my own life, that a change is really just a decision or an attitude away. Sometimes it isn't the whole giant big process out there, but it's a decision. Somewhere along the line, a change in my life has to come from a decision that I make. I'm going to do something about it. And it may take a while to work that out, but it's still part of that decision. Okay, after I've wrote things down and tried to figure out what God wants me to take with me that day, then to just have some time in prayer for that, what God has spoke to me, or for the family, or for some situation that's coming up, or missionaries, or whatever. And some of you may have, you know, like Monday is praying for missionaries, and Tuesday is praying for the pastor in the church, and Wednesday is praying for work. You know, you may have little things like that that you've worked out for your own prayer life, but irregardless, that you just spend some time thanking the Lord for what He shared with you, thanking the Lord for what He wants to do in your life and how He's going to work it out. And really, that's what quiet time is. A decision to get alone with God and let Him speak to you, you speak to Him, and carry away something that will have the process of changing your thought life or your work life or your family life or your life. And that's really what we're talking about. Well, what do you do when you say have done all that and you walk away and you don't really feel much? And it really hasn't been all what you thought it was supposed to be. Well, again, I have to come back that when I was first married, I would go speak at a women's group or something like that. And my wife, I'd come back and I'd want to tell all the war stories of what God did in this meeting and the questions that were asked and the points that I got across. And my wife said, well, what'd you have for supper? You know, I say, but honey, you know, I mean, don't you want to hear about my message? Or she said, well, did you have peas or beans or what? And I thought, kid, night, you know, I mean, did I marry a non-Christian or what's the deal here? You know? But no, she was just interested in kind of the who was there, what I ate, and kind of what the atmosphere was. And then after I shared all that, then I could get on with the real thing of what I was doing there. But she wanted to know what all that. Well, you know, at first that really bugged me. But a lot of times in a meal time, you know, I eat and I'm eating to eating and I don't really pay too much attention to what I'm eating. And I can't remember it. And just because I can't remember it doesn't mean that I didn't eat. And I think the same way with a quiet time. Just because I can't remember all the details about what God did or is doing, there's a process going on and He's feeding me and I'm gradually, day by day, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus in my thoughts. And some days, you know, I'm reading along and all of a sudden, good night! That really is exciting. And it's like a big steak dinner. Man, I go away and I could share that for days and chew on it. Or maybe it's like going out to, how many of you been out to the Flying W Ranch out here? They have their little spiel about these are the cheapest beans that we can find and they're going to be with you for about 3 days because it takes about 3 days for them to self-destruct. And, you know, maybe that's sometimes our quiet time. We get something that we can chew on for 3 or 4 days and we know that it's really with us. But other times it's not. But the fact is God called us to worship Him and adore Him and love Him and to come before Him. And whether we're getting these golden nuggets or big steak dinners or what, it's an act of my will to say, okay, God, if you see it's important, man, I do too. And it's important for me. Well, don't feel defeated if it doesn't go all the time like you think it's going to, but just keep prodding on and God will bless your life as a result of it. I see we have maybe a time for a question or two, or maybe someone would like to share a point or two that wasn't very clear that you could clear that up. Any questions on that or thoughts? I've succeeded in my message. You all are in deep quiet time. Like one of, yes.
Why don't you wear your name tag?
I got it right there. There's my name tag. I should put it on my forehead. I'm kind of low. Huh? What's my name? Bruce Das. D-A-S. Sad spelled backwards. Any Dutchmen in here? Huh? Can you speak Dutch? Waarom niet? We have one of our Dutch fellows that lived with us in Holland. Came over just to visit with us for a couple of weeks, and so he's living with us again. And so we're talking Dutch all the time, and I'm finding that I'm having, you know, I can't speak anymore. So I enjoyed speaking Dutch. Any other questions or thoughts before we wrap this up? Good to see all you folk. Yes.
How do you feel about reading the Old Testament?
Huh? How do I feel about that? I think it's a good deal. Well, of course, if you're just starting out, Psalm and Proverbs are certainly... You don't start in Genesis when you're first starting out. You know, the Bible is not quite like any other book. You start from the beginning and go to the end. Sometimes you get caught in all those wars and just kind of give up. But, I think that there's a lot of little reading programs on. I think we have some down in the bookstore that you can map out a little reading program. But the Psalms and Proverbs certainly have a lot to do with our practical daily walk and our worship. David's Psalms of worship to the Lord. So there's a good place to start. And Ecclesiastes is kind of fun too. And then Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of those other books have a lot of promises that we can cling to in our lives. Any other thoughts? Yes.
Do you regularly go back and review what you've written down, or just as a whole?
Well, I'm not that quite systematic to regularly go back and review. I think that I do it periodically, but not, you know, on a plan. I think some people maybe are more geared up that way. And so I have to learn how to do that. Yes?
You didn't speak to concentration, but it seems like for a short period of time, early in the morning, that is sometimes difficult.
Okay. Maybe you, I don't know if you're a coffee drinker, but maybe you have to get one of those little instant coffee pots and bring that out and have your quiet time around that or do something. I find that something that really helps, too, say that, you know, everybody thinks I'm a morning person or a night person. Well, I don't really, I mean, I don't want to be opinionated on that, but I think it has to do with how you regulate your life. You're a morning person if you go to bed at night. So if you want to stay up till midnight or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, then you're not going to be a morning person. But all you'd have to do to change that would be to get up at 5 o'clock each morning for a week and still go to bed at the same time. And suddenly, you'll be going to bed early. It just sort of changes that. Can't watch the late movie and get up at 5:30 and have a good quiet time. So there's some decisions. Go to bed at night and you'll be able to get up in the morning. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege that you give each one of us to be able to spend time with you and to enjoy your fellowship and to be able to walk with you. And Lord, so often we miss just these wonderful opportunities to be able to spend and have an appointment with the King. And so we just ask you for forgiveness on that, and we just pray that you would help us, whether we're one day old in the Lord or 40 years, that we would see that this is of vital importance to our life, that it is our life, and that it's not really an option. And that the last day that we're on earth, if possible, that we'd be able to say and stand before you, Lord, I really enjoyed the time this morning with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.